I'd like to share a video now with you about our sister, Nellie, who's talking more about our current series, which is about mental health. Our series is called Healing Comes, and here we're trying to create a better response to mental health so that we have a space of learning, sharing, and healing. So please listen and hear what Nellie has to say.
Hello, my name is Nellie, and my story about mental health. My mental health problem started in 2019. Before that, I just used to hear mental health and I used to think, oh, mental health, okay, we Black people don't have mental health. Obviously, it's a taboo in Malawi. However, I had a baby December 2019. The first 3 months was very difficult. It was my first child. I found myself home for the entire 3 months. And I just felt like I was losing myself. I wasn't doing the things I enjoyed. I'm an extrovert. I love meeting people, going out to eat and working. But I couldn't work anymore. I had to take care of this baby every single day. So slowly, without me realizing, I got into depression. However, I carried on. At that time, I was living with my parents because it was my first child and my mom was helping me. After 3 months, me and my husband moved back to our house. And unfortunately, I found myself sinking deeper and deeper. By the time my daughter was 5 months old, I didn't want to go back to work. I didn't want to go back to my business. I just wanted to stay home. I found myself just staying in a dark room and crying all the time. However, I never showed it to the world. I would still get up in the morning, take my Instagram pictures, get back into bed with all that lipstick and perfume, but I wasn't okay. When I realized that I really had a big problem was when I started taking too much alcohol, wine. It started as one glass, two glass. I'm tired, let me treat myself as a mom. And before I knew it, I was doing two bottles a night, three bottles a night. I would have to wake up in the morning, be functional, hide the bottles of wine and just act like everything is okay. However, people started noticing. Our nanny at the time would notice. My mom would come around and she'd see my eyes would look red. I was hangover. And my husband would ask that, are you sure you're gonna have another glass? And I'd be like, yes. And that was me every single day. So when we got to 2021, that's when I realized that I had a very big problem because I started getting angry at everyone. I was just an angry person and I didn't know I was angry. I was angry. I never used to like to meet people. And at this time, everything around me was just falling apart, including my marriage. So at this point, unfortunately, my marriage also then contributed to my depression. So I found myself just, as I said, angry and down all the time. Then my mom got really worried and she connected me to a counselor. And at the time, I didn't see the need to see a counselor, but I went. I went and I loved her. So the first session, she just asked me that, what's wrong with you? And I told her that I'm just angry. You know, I'm just angry and, you know, I hate myself. I hate the way I look. And by this time, because of drinking alcohol every single day, being depressed and just eating what you want, I was 108 kgs. And I just didn't know how to do it myself. I was a mess. So you started going to counseling 3 times a week. And she really helped me. She was great. But it didn't happen instantly. It wasn't an instant fix. I then had to start working on myself. So I had to find a habit which was going to substitute alcohol and everything else. So I started to exercise. The good thing is when I put my mind towards something, I really work towards it. So I started gymming hard, eating right, and I stopped alcohol. And unfortunately, in 2021, me and my husband got separated. So when we got separated, that's when I was like, oh, let me try this church called Flood. I'd met Chikondi from here. And she told me, oh, you know, I go to this church called Flood. I was like, let me give it a go. Then one Sunday came and the word was just so timely. By this time, my daughter was a year and a half. It was hard to bring her in because I didn't know what to do with a 1.5-year-old in church. Yes, so I started recovering. I was still doing the counseling and the working out really helped. And what I then did was I started praying a lot, really having a proper relationship with God, which before I just used to go to God when I needed something or something wasn't right or maybe I'm happy. But this time I just, all I wanted was just to know God and just to have a relationship with Him. So I would get home and in the morning I would have my coffee and I would read the word, and just getting to know God really changed my life. And unfortunately, this year, that's when I got my divorce. And by the time it was happening, I had already accepted it. And this is because of God, honestly. It's the grace of God. I think He knew that I would get to this place, and I was prepared because of Him. Because if I was still stuck in the old life I was in, God knows how I would have handled everything and what would have happened. But I just leaned on God, and you know, I saw God every day. Having to deal with the emotions of being divorced and taking care of a toddler was the hardest thing. Until today, I don't know how I make it every day, but it's the grace of God. So I would say that I got through depression with the help of a counselor, seeing someone and accepting that I did have a problem, but also God. I wouldn't have honestly done it without God. God has been amazing, and Flood has been amazing. Because every week I come to church, I hear the word of God, I worship God, and that just transforms me. So that's my story behind mental health. Okay. In this season, what I'm finding helpful is to have a routine and to be grounded in God. So I'll wake up in the morning, I'll do my Bible study, and I'll just worship and praise God. But also exercising, eating right is what's been helping me in this season. Unfortunately, I haven't reached a point where I'm able to still open up to my.
Amen. It's a powerful story, isn't it? To hear from one of our fellow church members just some of the big struggles that she's been facing here without, you know, not knowing where to go, and the, you know, little by little, the people in her life helping her to get on the right path. Her mother, she met a church member here, and slowly by slowly, she's been able to find healing. And that's the whole context of this series, is that we are expecting that healing comes. Not that it's something that's going to always happen instantly, but it's often, for many people, a process. So today we need to talk about how healing comes when we face our difficult circumstances in hopes that they won't remain the same forever. So I want to suggest to you today that healing comes when we can face reality, when we can hold on to hope, and when we can look to the future. So how do we find mental health healing in the difficult circumstances that we're facing? Let's read the scripture this morning, and please stand with us if you are able. We're in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. A well-known passage of scripture. So starting from verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. It pierces every heart. It divides sore. It divides marrow and spirit. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us ears to hear this morning, that we would hear what your Spirit is saying to our church, and that we would receive something today that we could go away with feeling closer to healing than when we entered here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please have your seats. So how do we find mental health healing in our difficult circumstances? I did mention my name is Renata. I'm married. We have 5 children. And I am well equipped to speak on mental health because of that. No. You know, I don't ever want to joke about that, but certainly all of us face situations, whether you're married, single, divorced, kids, no kids. The brain is part of the body, right? I have asthma. I have to take a inhaler every single day, and I never feel guilty about that, thinking if my lungs could just work properly, then I wouldn't have to take this. Why is God not healing me? Why am I less of a person? But we have to think about the way I take care of my lungs is how we all have to take care of our brains. This is an organ, too, that God has given us, and we can't neglect it. And what happens in our minds affects everything, doesn't it? I've been a member at Flood since 2014, and I think this is the first series we've done in that time on mental health, and it's really exciting because a lot of people are able to share their story, like Nelly, and others receive healing and hope from those testimonies. So Paul writes to the Romans, and this is not a church that he planted, but it's a letter of encouragement to some Christians that he knows. And I want to suggest to you 3 simple things of how healing comes when we face these difficult circumstances. And the first one is that healing comes through facing reality and accepting the truth. I shared before that I lost my mother unexpectedly earlier this year, and that has been a big challenge, and I still have my father. And he and my mother separated when I was about 11 years old, and he married someone else, so I have this stepmother. Those of us who have step-parents, I'm convinced God has a special place in heaven for us. Amen. Yes, from the front row. Hallelujah. And those of you who are step-parents, God has a special task for you to do in the heart of those children that you shouldn't take it lightly. It's a big responsibility. So my dad, he's never been the father that I wished he could be. He's always doing things that I feel are funny, a little bit strange. He got married on my brother's birthday, and he didn't tell us. I know, it's funny, right? Beatrice thinks it's hilarious, which it is. And so he came one day to visit me, and we were at a restaurant, and he was wearing a wedding ring, and I was about 15, so drama is high. And I said, "What is that on your hand?" And he just said, "Oh, it's a wedding ring. Oh, we just got married." And I said, "What?" So he's not the type of person who's doing this because he's cruel or mean or has bad intentions. He literally just doesn't think about it. And I know that's hard. It was really hard for me to accept that he wasn't doing it against me. That's just the way that he is, right? Another time I called him to wish him a happy birthday. "Oh, what are you doing to celebrate your birthday?" He said, "Oh, we're just having a nice family dinner." with, you know, my stepsister, my stepbrother. I said, oh, like, what about me and my brother? Like, you didn't invite us? And he said, oh, I didn't think of that. And that's actually what he means. Like, he's not trying to do something cruel or go behind corners. He's just like that, right? But as a young lady, a young teenager, a young adult, a young late 30s, you know, it takes time to accept this kind of behavior from someone who is supposed to love you, care about you, nurture you, support you, and do all of those things. So I came to a point, it was in my early 20s, when I just decided, this is who he is. Like, he is not going to change. Short of a miracle from God that would impact everything in his life, he's going to be like this. And if I want to have a relationship with him, I just have to accept him like that. And it was so freeing for me to not be trying to control how he behaved. You know, I could cry to him, Dad, don't you know this upsets us and this is so hurtful and why don't you think of us and you've now ruined my brother's birthday because you married this woman. And all of that is like falling on deaf ears, right? Because he's just not going to change. He's just like that. The healing that I could experience came from just accepting him the way that he is, right? Accepting reality, accepting what's actually happening. So some few points under this. Number one, acceptance helps us to be aware of our experience and the way it actually is rather than how we would like it to be. You know? Like, I would love it if he's the kind of person that did all the things a father is supposed to do, but he's just not. But being aware of it helps me actually to get healed. Next one, acceptance supports our emotional and physical health. So there is some really fascinating research about this, the way that if we can accept reality, how it actually impacts our physical bodies. We actually have more physical energy when we accept things. We no longer have to spend this energy of trying to deny, trying to push away, trying to cover up. That is huge amounts of physical energy that go into those, physical and mental energy that go into that behavior. And did you know that there are actual physical diseases that are linked to trying to deny truth, deny reality? Cancer, diabetes, arthritis, cardiovascular disease are all linked to when people try to deny reality. Because God made us body, mind, spirit. Right? Those three are always going to be connected. Genesis 2:7, the Lord formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. You cannot separate what's happening in your mind with what's happening in your body. And if we try to just push away what's real, it's going to affect us. It's going to have a negative impact. Next one, acceptance contributes to healthier relationships. You know, I would love to stand here and tell you that as a preacher that, hallelujah, God has done everything. He's healed my relationship. My father comes to Malawi 2 times a year. He does more than you can. No, none of that is true. Now I accept him the way he is. He's never going to visit us. He never buys Christmas gifts or baby gifts or anything. But it's like now when I engage with him, I don't have these levels of bitterness in my heart, right? That yes, you can visit, but in your mind it's playing, well, he missed this, he was absent for that, he didn't do this, I still need this, right? We have a better relationship because I've accepted it. Not because he's changed, but because I've allowed myself to face reality. Next one, acceptance reduces the chances that the feelings will resurface at a later time due to not resolving it the first time around. You know, there's a saying, when you bury your feelings, you bury them alive. Did somebody hear me today? When you bury your feelings, you bury them alive. They're still very real. You haven't, if they're not being dealt with, they're just going to come up. They're going to come up in that relationship, and they're going to impact other relationships as well. Next, acceptance actually contributes to our inner peace. You know, hopefully, I'm sure my dad is not watching this morning, but if he is, I would be comfortable to share these things in front of him as well. But accepting it has given the inner peace, right? He's had peace all along, as far as I know. But by me accepting the way he is, it gives a level of peace in my heart that I can actually parent my children. I can take care of my own life without allowing the way that he's behaved to take away from it. And actually accepting things gives us psychological strength because we have taken the courage that we need to face something. And we have this muscle within us. It's not a real muscle. It's like a metaphorical muscle that gets stronger every time you use it. It's called courage. Every time you face something and you use courage, the muscle's growing and getting stronger, like Nelly was saying on the video. And if we avoid and run away and bury feelings, we actually become weak in expressing courage. And, you know, we start avoiding things in the future. And before you know it, that avoidance is like a habit, which then is like a lifestyle. But when we accept something, we can find that we actually have the strength to bear something we didn't think we could. Think of Nelly. She has been to our growth group before because she lives close to our area. And, you know, the person that she described, I was shocked because the time I met her, I couldn't have imagined that she had all of those things going on. But she actually managed to face all of the issues, the mental health issues, the physical issues, the relationship with the husband, and realized, I can actually do this. I'm stronger than I thought that I was. And this helps us to build courage, which we're going to need for the next challenge, right? Because as we know, like, we live in a sinful world. They just keep coming, and they come, and day after day. Okay, the second one, just to refer to the first one again. Healing comes through facing reality and accepting the truth. And the second one, number two, healing comes when we hold on to hope. We are people of hope, right? The scripture reminds us over and over again that we are looking for a city whose maker is God. We're not actually looking, you know, here on this earth and the ways that we live and abide here. This is temporary. It's all passing away. We're people of hope. Everything we believe is based around hope. The passage says, for in this hope we are saved. So who hopes for something they already have? That's not hope, right? I mentioned to you, I have 5 children. My firstborn, he's somewhere around. He must be in the youth. And I pray desperately for twins. Oh, Father in heaven, give me that blessing. And of course, then he was born, only one. Okay, again. You know, we've reached 5, and I think God has answered, like, this is not your blessing. I don't have your blessing, Florissa. But I don't look at my 13-year-old and say, I hope I'm getting twins with that one. Right? Who hopes for what they already have? That's not hope. You know, when we think about the things we already have, we can be blessed with them. We can be grateful. But as people of hope, we're looking for what is beyond what we're in right now. Beyond the struggle we're in right now and beyond the blessing as well. There is so much really exciting research around hope that's so fascinating. Hope is a very good predictor of mental health. If a person has hope, they are more likely to come away from struggles with mental health. Hopeful people have a greater sense that life is meaningful. It doesn't relate to IQ or income. Everybody can access it equally, right? Researchers have found that hope is a very strong predictor of positive emotions. Hope is associated with many positive outcomes, including greater happiness, better academic achievement, and even lower risk of death. A psychologist at Leicester University tracked college students over 3 years and found that those who were more hopeful had greater academic success. More hopeful, not more intelligent, not all the fees paid. He discovered that hope was even better at predicting academic success than intelligence, personality, or even what they've done before academically. Hopeful people are better at setting goals because they just believe that it's going to happen. Now, I'm going to give you two sentences and think in your mind how it can sound. I can't do this. I can't do this yet. Yet. Just as such a simple word, and there's a whole bunch of research even tied in with that about how adding yet onto something you think that you can't do or haven't been able to do is just going to change your outlook around it. So we have research that dates back decades indicating that hopelessness is even more associated with suicide than with depression. I'll say that again. Hopelessness is even more associated with suicide than depression is. And if you're following the news, we're having case after case after case of people being found hanging in a tree, right? A typical situation, a husband, a wife, a child has some kind of altercation with a close relative, and the next day they're found hanging in the tree. And it's happening all over. It's constantly in the news. That's hopelessness. We can't say that every person who commits suicide is depressed. No, but they have this deep sense that there is not hope for the situation or for that relationship to be resolved. And we have to do something about that as believers, because hope is a resource we can all access. It belongs to us. It's something we're rooted in. It allows us to see what is possible even when we face what is impossible. And it can be built upon, right? You don't have to have hope for the highest thing, but you know what? I'm hopeful that when I get home today, I might have a 30-minute nap. Hallelujah. Sunday afternoon is God's time. But I'm not hopeful that I'll have a 3-hour nap and no one will disturb me, right? We can start with small things to be hopeful for. And it's something that you can build on, you can increase, and it continues to grow. So healing comes when we hold on to hope. Last one, healing comes by looking to the future. You know, I was so touched by Nellie's story today. She's been through a lot. And there are many women, and I know you're here today, who have faced a similar postpartum, postnatal depression or anxiety. And it can feel like it's literally eating you alive. You know, your body has been through something really traumatic. You're suddenly not sleeping very much. Your relationship with your spouse is being tested in a new way. The chemicals in your body are trying to find out what is the new normal here, because we're feeding a little mammal and we're trying to get your body back to where it's regulating normally. And Nellie shared that in such a deep way that I think we as a community can't ignore that reality among us. And some of us may have faced it. Others may have a relative or a spouse that have done so. And if you know someone, you can reach out to them. You can talk to them. And if you are the one who struggled, I would also encourage you to do the same. You know, what was so touching about Nellie's story is that she said, I would sit in a dark room and cry almost every day. She said, I would get up, I would get ready and take photos on Instagram and lipstick and perfume and everything. And then that's what I want to present to the world. But what I was actually facing was something very, very challenging. And she took these small steps, and someone helped her. That was very clear. Her mom saw, things are not fine here. You need support. And the mother did not try to do it herself, right? She found an expert to help Nellie. Yes, exactly. Looking for other people to help us. And if we focus on the place we are right now, it's going to take us to a dark room if we're not careful, right? But we have hope for the future. We have to look beyond where we are right now, because I'm not where I once was, but I'm also not yet where I will be, right? We are people of the future, but we have, you know, we have hope for our future here, even in this life right now. I read Genesis 2:15 in a brand new way as I was preparing. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So he creates him, he takes him, and he puts him in a garden to work in it. So the first humans were gardeners, right? Magarimboy. Those are people who plant, who tend, who water, who care, and who expect a harvest. That's actually the thing that God put first in the humans that he created. So we're people of the future even in this life, planting these seeds, looking for these things that are going to come, even when the ground looks fallow, even when the ground looks rocky. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So prepare for action. Set your mind on grace, because God wants to do something with you. Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So whatever we do, Paul's writing this to the Colossians. He wasn't writing to a Bible college class or a group of well-known Western theologians. He was writing to a church in the East. And he's saying, brother, sister, you, me, us here, whatever we do it as unto the Lord when we're working. So we prepare for the future in this life, but most of all in the one to come. In our life to come, we can get very weighed down with the struggle and the battles that we face here on earth. But Romans 14:8 reminds us, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Jesus speaks to the disciples in John chapter 5 after doing a significant miracle, and he says, no, don't even get excited about this, because a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. We're looking beyond this temporary home, aren't we? So healing comes when we face our difficult circumstances with hopes that they won't remain the same forever. We have hope that they won't remain the same, but maybe they will. You know, I still do carry a measure of hope that one day my father will respond in a way that I would like him to. But for now, he's not. But the healing comes in the acceptance of that, but also looking towards the future. Coming away from just believing that at some point he's going to change and see what a wonderful daughter I am, right? No. Because the work that we often pray will happen to another person is what needs to happen in our own lives. It's not that God needs to change him, it's that he needs to change me. He needs to make me more like Jesus. The worship team is coming and we're going to close soon. But I want to encourage you that the trial that we're in now is going to be a testimony for tomorrow. And healing comes when we face the reality that we're in, when we can accept what's true. We are people of truth, just as we are people of hope. No longer hiding or pretending, but accepting the truth. And healing comes when we hold on to hope. And brother, sister, don't let go of it, because if we don't have hope, we don't have anything. And healing comes by looking to the future, both in our current life and in the life to come. There's a proverb that says, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is now. The scripture reminds us that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Our hope is secure, very sure, completely certain. So don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. And we have resources available for you today if you need assistance with mental health. The important thing is we need to point you in the right direction. Some people here have been trained in trauma healing, but most of the time we try to get outside experts who can really assist with the deep issues. So we have some needs. Some people don't know if they're struggling with mental health, but they know they're struggling. Some people definitely know they're struggling with mental health and they're just reluctant to take a step. Some people know they're struggling and they're ready to get help and they can afford it. And other people know they're struggling, ready to get help, but they can't afford it. And so we as a church, as an assembly, a body, we want to be available for anybody who has those needs. All of these needs are welcome to have a chat at the office. Everybody is here on Monday morning, definitely, pastors and staff. And at this time, we're going to have some prayer counselors who are available around the room for you if you need to access prayer or other support. And I just want to encourage you, don't wait. You know, I have my brother. We're 17 months apart in age. I'm the firstborn, if you couldn't tell. And he doesn't follow Christ. He doesn't walk with the Lord. And his relationship with my dad is the complete opposite of what I have. He looks at everything my father has done and says, get out of my life. I don't want anything to do with you. And it's actually only affecting him. Again, my dad, like, he loves golfing. He loves curling. Not curling hair, but it's this winter sport we have in Canada that you do with shoes on ice and brooms. Sounds very fun, I know. And he carries on with those activities, and it's literally eating my brother alive. He's an addict. He has so many challenges that he faces, and it's not only related to this. But what I want to say to you, if you try to hold this idea of rejecting acceptance for what is, will actually end up eating you alive in one way or another. So please, find the support you need. Talk to someone. Talk to your friend. Talk to your growth group. Your growth group leaders are always available for this. We'll sing a song, and then I'll be back to pray for you. And I want to encourage you, as you stand this morning, don't wait. Don't wait. Let's stand and sing to the Lord today, because he's listening. He's worthy of our praise. And he wants to hear from you today. Amen.